Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As we welcome in our good friend James Hamm, as we are reliving the top 20 games of the Kings season. Hammer, we'll talk some football here as the day progresses here, but there is a little bit of King stuff going on as you, Sean, and your partner to not be named on the Kings beat talked about this weekend. And, of course, Sean was reporting throughout the day here that there's some veterans coming in to work out for Sacramento this week.
Yeah, I think this is good stuff, right? You want this team to keep kicking the tires and see if there's anyone out there that makes sense for them. So we know Jay Crowder is coming in or has come in. TJ Warren and Nasir Little are two other names that have been added to this list via our friend Sam Amick today. This is good. I like, you know, again, Jay Crowder, I think, is a guy who's still a rotational player, like back into the rotation probably for a team like this, but still like, you know, 9-10. Nasir Little is a 24-year-old guy with all kinds of upside who just seems to have got lost in Phoenix and then bought out of a three-year $21, $22 million deal. So, yeah, some interesting names being brought up here. That may or may not be able to compete for the final roster spot in Sacramento.
I was good to see the Boogie Ellis news. I thought he did a good job over the summer and showed a level of toughness. He showed, it was already that, but like maybe to the general public, he showed that he's probably like more of a Mike Brown guy than we gave him credit for. Like he's just going to get physical. You know, he's going to go in there and do the dirty work. He's not going to back down. And I don't know if that results in any type of like real playing time or opportunities, but that's a guy that I feel Mike Brown came away from the summer like, oh yeah, I want him around. Somehow, some way, I want him around.
Yeah, I'd also like you got to remember that he has ties. You always look for the ties when it comes to situations like this. He played at USC with Bronny James, and that's not really the tie I'm talking about. Alvin Gentry's son is part of the program in at USC. And so this is a guy that they have maybe a little bit more background on than they would a normal undrafted, you know, free agent signing. And I'll tell people too, like he's probably an Exhibit 10 contract. I don't know the exact, they typically don't give us a bunch of press releases on Exhibit 10 guys. So it's possible he has some sort of guarantee. I'm not sure. But there's also the possibility that he's going to compete for one of the three two-way contracts that the Kings have. And while the Kings have already filled up those two-way contracts can be moved on from pretty quickly and pretty easily. So if Boogie Ellis decides he's going to be the guy and force somebody's hand, and you don't feel like you can keep him on the main roster, you can always waive one of your two-way guys and sign him to a two-way contract, which is what I think we just saw. San Antonio just waived a two-way guy and signed someone else, and the Lakers did too. And from what we saw in Summer League, like Boogie Ellis is like a try-hard guy. He got the message when they said, hey, we need you to go out there and just dive on the floor and be physical and play defense and do everything you can to make an impact on the game without scoring. He listened, he went out and did that. And you could see like right away that that's like he had something there and you want to reward that.
Is there a name here that you particularly like or get your attention? Like, ah, I could see that. That might work.
Yeah. As far as the veterans. Yeah. Like TJ Warren, like I'm just going to like cross off the list. Like TJ Warren at one point was like a heck of a scorer at the NBA level. And I think he would have, you know, made a nice impact. But the last time he really played meaningful minutes at all was during the 2019-20 season. And that's so long ago. As far as the other two, I really like it. It depends on where you're going here, right? If you think you need help in your rotation today, and you're like, okay, look, we could really use somebody as depth at the as a 3-4 that can step on the court, and we know exactly what we're going to get from them, then Jay Crowder would be the guy I would really look at. If you're looking for someone to compete for a roster spot, but who might have a really nice ceiling and is young, then Nasir Little at 24 years old, to me, again, Portland thought very highly of him a couple of years ago, and then he had a shoulder injury, and then he just kind of fell out, and he had to be included in the big trade where they sent Nurkic and there are reasons why he got traded, but also I think that he's still got potential, and he's still a guy with a 6'5", 6'6" with a 7'1" wingspan, sort of that length and athleticism that we keep talking about.
Hmm.
Do you think like there's a spot? Because I like Jay Crowder. I like the idea of him more than maybe the actual player that he is today. But do you think whether it's Crowder or Little or even TJ Warren, because I'm with you, I don't think TJ Warren's going to make it. Do you think there's a place for them to play, or would it be more of a leadership break glass in the case of emergency? Like, do you think there's actually plans if one of those for those guys to play if one of them were to make the squad?
Yeah, I don't know. That's always going to be the tough question, and you don't want to spend money just to spend money, right? The Kings are up against the luxury tax. They've got to watch everything that they're doing at this point. Like, look, if I'm looking at Jay Crowder very specifically, like I look at him as a player who, if let's say you're playing the Lakers and LeBron James goes out and in the first 2 minutes picks up two quick fouls on Keegan Murray, and you don't have anywhere to turn, and you're going to go, what, Jalen McDaniels at that point? Like, you're going to go Trey Lyles? Like, I think Jay Crowder is a guy that you can say, hey, man, I need you to go in there and get physical and give us some toughness and just give us 5 minutes. Like, give us 3 minutes in this half, 4 minutes in this half, give us 4 minutes next half. Just buy us some time. And I think Jay Crowder can still do that. He's also, like, career-wise, a decent three-point shooter, like 3-and-D guy. But he's also, like, we always talk about, do the Kings have that toughness, that dog? And he's one of those guys. He's one of those guys that doesn't mess around. And so I like him. But then, again, I've said it since he became available, I really like the Nasir Little idea, especially to compete with Jalen McDaniels. So is there a possibility that one of these guys plays? I'd say it's more possible that Jay Crowder plays, especially early in the season, especially while you're trying to get Kevin Huerter back to full strength and kind of in rhythm, than a guy like Little. But I like the upside of Little better, if that makes sense.
Do you think you just said something about toughness and, you know, talking about this team like lacking toughness? Do you think that's still the case? Do we still need the proverbial dog that everyone talks about? Like, I don't feel like this team is soft.
No, I don't think they're soft, but I don't know. Like, who do you put on that list? I mean, it's clearly.
Well, Trey once choked a man on the court, so there's. I wouldn't.
He did try to go like Greco-Roman wrestling on him.
He did. Went well. This you may go. He did go full Undertaker and was trying to choke slam someone at center court, but. There's that.
The Brooke Lopez move.
I mean, Malik ain't scared of nobody. No. DeMar sure as hell ain't scared of nobody.
I think De'Aaron is soft.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean.
Domas is on that. Did you say Domas?
I didn't, but Domas.
Domas is about as tough as it gets.
No. I get that. But I think Jay Crowder's a guy who, if someone decides to go in for a dunk and just disrespect you, he doesn't mind, you know, hitting him with a hard foul. And I don't think the guys that you mentioned, like, they're not really those guys.
Dunking
right?
on someone isn't. That's not disrespectful. Like, it's part of the game. James, you and your 1980s basketball.
Hell yeah.
You and Casey both. I'll make them feel me. All right, dude.
They do got to know you're there.
Play defense.
They got to know you're there. That's part of playing defense.
No.
I don't know you're there. I ain't say undercut them while they're doing a windmill.
Yes. Didn't say go full Vince there. Carter. We didn't say that.
No. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I
do think
dogs.
That the Kings could use somebody who doesn't mind hitting someone with a hard foul. So, and I think Trey Lyles is one of those guys. But, you know, like, you can use more grit on this team. There's no question about that. And I'm not saying they're soft at all, but you could use more grit on this team.
I think Alex Lynn is that type of dude, too.
Alex is tough. I just don't, I don't know. I feel like it was a talking point for so long because it was accurate. I don't feel like it's a talking point anymore. I understand the point James is making, and I guess is Chad is saying, brought to you by Matthews. I guess you can't have too many dogs.
Well,
but
speaking of choking out somebody, didn't DeRozan choke out somebody last year? No, what happened was DeRozan beat the, I shouldn't say he didn't beat him, but he knocked the hell out of like Jalen Green. For no reason.
Oh, I remember
and
that.
And then him and Dylan Brooks got into it.
Oh, because I remember the discourse the day after. DeMar's from Compton. What the hell is Dylan Brooks doing? All right, like DeMar gonna roll up on him like the end of Boys in the Hood, like we were talking about earlier. Dylan, it's fine. Okay. Well, I guess we'll be on the lookout then. Jay, it feels like they've been working out quite a few vets. I know Isaiah was one. Who's the other one? Lonnie Walker signed with the Celtics. Both of those guys have made their way through Sacramento, and now.
Well, remember those guys were just working out with Sacramento Kings, not working out with the Sacramento Kings.
They brought in JTA.
Well, that's right. Yeah, we just went over a game in which he was actually on the bench for.
And was it Tony Bradley? Tony Bradley. That's the other guy they brought in.
You sure it wasn't Keegan Bradley?
The golfer.
No, it was Tony Bradley.
Okay. Keegan Bradley, the NBA.com legend.
That's right.
The golfer.
That's right.
Can you imagine being Keegan's parents and you pull up, I guess, watch our son on Kings rookie sensation, Keegan Bradley on.
Keegan Bradley. The guy was only like one of the top rookies in the game.
He broke the 3-point record for rookies.
Get his name right.
No one cared. Or at least NBA.com didn't care. Dog's not happy about this conversation. See, those are the type of players we need. We need the James Ham dogs. That's what we need.
Dogs.
That's what we need. James, it's getting close. We're starting to get invitations from the Kings, and like you realize your whole world's about to be flipped upside down here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we're almost there, right? We've got training camp starting on October 1st. We've got media day on the 30th. We've got I won't be there on Thursday. I'll be out of town. But we have some other events that are happening. So this feels like the ramp up. This is always about that.
Your
time.
Vacations are very ill timed. That just dawned on me what you said to me like earlier, and then that text we got. Your vacations are very ill timed. But I guess for you it doesn't matter because you don't really need that. But
I wouldn't have mind like getting it. Like, what is today? Today's Monday.
Well, yeah, like, I know.
I mean,
I know.
Like, am I supposed to not go to Vegas? No, I'm going to Vegas.
Oh, yeah, I always go to Vegas.
I know. What are you going to Vegas for? Is this the Ed Sheeran reschedule? Like, what is this? Or
no,
just
that
for
never
fun?
Happened that I know of. Well, I think it did happen, and we sold those tickets. We're going. We have a couple of friends with some birthdays, some big birthdays, and
okay.
We're just going like Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, coming back Saturday. So nice. Something real quick.
Very good. Nice. Okay. Good Very stuff. Good.
Got to stretch a leg before the season starts.
Yeah, man. Because as you said, media day is right around the corner. Training camp is right around the corner, which means preseason games are right around the corner, and we're like a month away from the start of the regular season, and then we're off and running until June when the Kings win the championship.
That's right,
so,
man. I can't wait for the parade.
Mm-hmm. Championship, De'Aaron Fox MVP. Malik Monk finally gets his Sixth Man of the Year award.
Yeah.
Just so much there.
So much going on. So much I can't wait for.
Of course, he gets the Sixth Man of the Year after Mike moves him to the starting lineup the final month of the season.
And De'Aaron Fox wins the MVP but does not make any All-NBA teams.
That's facts. That's right. And that's, of course, after he missed the All-Star game.
Yeah. It's like, which he once again tells us he doesn't care about.
Right, he doesn't care.
But just in time to win MVP and get paid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a good, no, wait, that's a good question. If Fox was the MVP, I mean, this would never happen, but this is funny. If he was the MVP but didn't make All-NBA, would he still qualify for
the, I think the MVP is a separate calculation, right? Like it would.
No, I it's part of that. I think it's All-NBA, it's All-Defensive, and there's one other category there. And it's probably
I would hope it was MVP.
Yeah, it's probably MVP.
You know what?
Yeah, would, we can't,
so
we
that's,
can't give you the extension. He didn't make the All-NBA.
That's unrealistic. But you know what I feel like is realistic? De'Aaron Fox wins the MVP and gets named to All-Second Team. That I could absolutely see happening.
Put Luka and or, SGA there.
Yeah, or him and Domas get named to the third team just because.
All of this is possible. It's also possible they don't get any awards at all, and we're left bitter and angry like we typically are here in Sacramento.
Well, if there's some playoff wins in there, I don't care. I mean, De'Aaron doesn't see. Well, I want De'Aaron to get his awards because he's clearly holding out for the money, which that's it's the move. Like. But this is kind of it, right? Like, if he doesn't hit it this year, you want to – all parties are going to want to sign, right? Like, I mean, I would think all parties would want to sign. Like, I don't think Clutch would want to go into the final year of his contract without an extension. The Kings certainly wouldn't want that. But this is kind of the year for him to get that boosted profile for the – what is it, 35% of the cap?
Yeah, 35% of the cap. Yeah, it's a big season for Fox. It really is. And, you know, you're hoping that he would sign an extension next summer, like you would expect. Mm-hmm. If he hits that mark, he's going to sign that extension. And even if his intention is to down the road, like whether it is or not, but if he's like, hey, I might want to leave down the road if we're not going to be good, You want to sign the extension and then deal with all that down the road. Yeah. You got me.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Watching game number 10 of the top 20 games of the season. It was the game in Atlanta where they won on the road, had the big comeback victory after losing to Portland in Portland the night before, getting beat up by them. And one of the things, speaking of De'Aaron Fox, that always is there. Every time I go through these games, it's a big game from De'Aaron Fox. Do you think that there's more steps for him to take? There's more that he can do? Or is he maxed out? And when I say that respectfully. Like, if he maxed out, doesn't mean you have to decline. It means you can be at that max potential for 5-6 years. You know what I'm saying? But do you think he's maxed out as a player, or there's more for him to more room for him to grow?
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know, like, statistically, if he's going to be better than he was last year. Like, it's possible he bumps up to 30 points a game and it's just like the De'Aaron Fox show and like all of the focus shifts to that. I don't think that's the way it's going to be, just because that's kind of not how this team is designed. But I think there is that possibility that he just comes out looking to score every single night, and partially because he knows what's at stake. But I kind of feel like there's a lot of ways that De'Aaron Fox can improve without it really showing up statistically. Like, he can become more consistent. Like, let's just say he shoots like 37% from three again, right? But instead of having 10 games where he hits 6 threes or more and, you know, 8 games where he has 0, what if he hit 4 in like all 18 of those games? So kind of balancing out who he is, the highs and the lows of how good he is in all of these statistical categories, I think there is a way in which he can become more consistent as a player. He can become more consistent as a player from one quarter to the next. He can become more consistent as a player on the defensive end. So I think that there's just, that's where the room, the true room for growth is, because we're already looking at a guy who finished like eighth in the league in scoring, mm-hmm. right? So it's not like there's this gigantic boost he can do. If he's going to go up to 34, 35 points per game, I don't know how many of those games the Kings win. And, you know, like there's only a certain amount of teams that are built like OKC, right? They are literally built just for Shea to score as many points as possible. And then they have defensive players at every other position who can score a little bit, but, you know, realistically the higher end scorer of that entire group is what, Jalen Williams. And, you know, he's not even there yet. Right. So he's going to be a very, very good scorer and a very good player. But, you know, he's still growing into the player he's going to be. Chet is still growing into the player he's going to be. Lou Dort, total defensive player. They went out and got Alex Caruso, total defensive player. That team is built very specific. The Kings just aren't built that way. They're built with, you know, five guys that can go for 30 on any night, at least. And that's a different type of ball club. And that's, to me, it's more of a share of the wealth, and everyone's going to have their nights. But Fox needs to find consistency within the numbers that he puts up. And I think if he can do that and find his footing on the defensive end, he's got quite a few pathways to not only all NBA or all defensive team, but like to that 35%.
What about Domas? Can Domas get even better?
Yeah, see,
I feel like he
one.
Can, and there's an easy way to do it, but I get yelled at every time I bring it up, so I won't.
Well, yeah, he can shoot the ball, the three ball more. You know, that's
or
one
the
thing.
Ball.
What's that?
Or just shoot the ball more.
No, that's
three
true.
Ball would be
that's
fine,
true.
But.
But I think, you know, again, one way in which Domas can get up to 20 points per game this season or stay at 19 points per game, he can actually hit his free throws. You know, if he goes from 60-something, 68%, or and he bumps that up to 78, 79%, 80%, all of a sudden his points per game will bump up. I think he might be the guy that it's not going to be a struggle every night to get to his shot attempts per game, but it could be a struggle because he is so unselfish and they are going to have so many other players that can score. So I worry a little bit, but I also think he's going to get easier looks with DeRozan. I think him and DeRozan will develop a really interesting two-man game to kind of go with the different two-man games that they have around the top. You know, I think him and Herter have a interesting two-man game. I think him and Fox can have a great two-man game. I think him and Keegan can have a really strong two-man game. But the one with DeRozan is very specific and different. And the fact that DeRozan is such a good passer, I think that, and he draws so much attention, it's going to give Sabonis an opportunity to maybe get one or two easier buckets per game as opposed to what he has in the last 2 years.
How about you, James? I think that's going to be an underrated.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
The two-man game, Sabonis and DeRozan. DeRozan a better passer than people give him credit for, better creator. And you pair that up with a guy like Sabonis who is really good at rolling off those pick and rolls. I know it seems simple enough, but he understands how to make himself available. He's got good hands and usually does a good job of securing the basketball on little pocket passes and things of that nature. So I think that's going to be an underrated factor of this offense for sure.
Yeah, I think it's the role where you see Sabonis get his easiest baskets, mm-hmm. right? It's him on in motion, and he does have great hands. He finishes well around the rim. He's a guy that, again, if you get him moving, he's much better than if he's trying to back somebody down. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan. He's limited as like a back-to-the-basket guy. He doesn't have like an array of moves, and he usually goes to the left. But I think if you have him in motion heading downhill, and the fact is now you have like variants here. You've got the two-man game with him and Fox, him and Monk, and him and DeRozan, where in all three of those situations, he's going to have opportunities to finish as the role guy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then the other, if you look at Keegan, if you look at Kevin Huerter, those are situations where he's probably not going to have as many opportunities to go to the basket because he's so far away from the basket to start, but it is where he can clear space for some elite shooters. So yeah, I like the overall build, the design of this team. It's really intriguing as of right now. We'll have to see how it plays out though.
We'll come back much more with our insider from the insiders, James Hamm here with Dillon Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Chatty House brought to you by Matthews Mattress as well, where the post Labor Day sales are jumping off right now. Head over to MatthewsMattress.com, find the location nearest you, take advantage of the many different sales they have on Sealy Cushion Firm Queens, on Beautyrest Harmony Mediums, on Tempur-Pedics. Whatever it is probably on sale right now at Matthews Mattress. Enjoy 36-month special financing with zero interest with no money down on approved credit with equal monthly payments required. Again, head to MatthewsMattress.com and find the location nearest you. Let's get them one of those adjustable headboards. Let's get the San Francisco 49ers one of those adjustable headboards with the massage thing that they have on it, because that's a real thing. You can do that because apparently they need it. Nick Wagner just tweeted, because Kyle Shanahan is talking, Debo Samuel has a calf strain.
Oh, boy.
And he's going to miss a couple of weeks.
Oh, boy.
Debo told Kyle Shanahan he thinks he injured the calf on a short catch late in the game. Niners only had a few more offensive plays after that. Of course, Debo had a big offensive game. But as we've learned, thanks to Nick Wagner and obviously Kyle Shanahan right now, Debo Samuel, along with Christian McCaffrey now, out for the next few weeks, Hammer.
Yeah, that's not great. Yeah, that offense is going from like top tier explosive offense to, we've been kind of waiting for this moment where Brock Purdy has to show that he's the dude that can go out and win games. Putting up, you know, like his stats, 28 of 36, mm-hmm. 319 yards. That's great. But at the end of the day, that wasn't a winning brand of basketball, a winning brand of football. And he's going to have to figure out how to be the reason why they win games and not the reason why they don't lose games. Mm-hmm. And I felt he's been able to do that quite a few times in his career. But like to consistently be the guy that leads your team to victory, mm-hmm. He's going to have to figure that out very quickly because he's missing two of his star pieces.
Well, you know, and I think he's capable of it. I'm not trying to like be a jerk or anything or media tough guy when I say something like this. But Brandon, are you?
Yep, 100%.
It's time for you to show and prove and be that guy that
you wanted to be the guy.
Yeah, this is it right here. You know what I'm saying? You've got to find a way to make sure you're open and you elevate your game to another level. Justin Jefferson last night. Yesterday, was playing without his number two guy and Jordan Addison, and he
found
stepped his
else.
Game up.
Yep.
So Brandon Ayuk, gonna be looking at you. If I'm Brock Purdy, we're having that conversation this week. I'm gonna be leaning heavy on you. Got to get open. I'm gonna be looking for you. Get open and let's hold things down until our guys get back. But this is what he talked about. This is what he held out for, you know, to be looked at and get paid as one of those guys. And he's still there. That's what I'm expecting from him.
Yeah, and I also, like, I'm excited to see Cowing get a couple of opportunities here. I didn't like the drop on the punt. That was not a good look at all for a young player. But I think that this is going to give him an opportunity to get back in the fray. And then Juwan Jennings, like, I just think he's so underrated. And he can easily step up. But he's a pass catcher. He's not a guy who's going to take an end around and go get an explosive play down the sidelines. And so they're going to have to figure that one out. And I think, again, it's got to be Cowings. It's got to be someone else there that they have to showcase to break up the offense a little bit.
Kittle has quietly kind of had a nice start to the season here. I'll ask you, KC. I'll start with you, KC.
Okay.
And James, I feel like because you just called Juwan Jennings underrated. KC, I'll ask you, is Juwan Jennings underutilized?
I'll say I think he's utilized properly.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because I think if you start looking to depend on him a little too much, his shortcomings may get exposed to a certain degree. And I like him as a third down
Biggest guy. Shortcoming is what? Route?
Lack of speed, you know, against top flight DBs. So that's where, you know, James and Kyle and we all talked about a lot. And I think for the short term, you can get away with it, like him being your number two receiver or something like that. But if you go into the season and construct a team saying he's the number two receiver, I think he's a little miscast there. I like him better as that third guy. But even to that point, though, he's gonna have to step up, and his usage is gonna go up. And if I'm wrong about him, this is his opportunity to prove, hey, Casey, you dead wrong. I can do a lot more than what I'm getting the opportunity to do, and what you give me credit for.
Yeah, I would like to see him get the ball more. I do think he's underutilized, and you know, maybe he's got a lack of speed, but like, look. There have been players for the last, you know, five decades that lack speed that find a way to get open. He's a big body, and he's a big target for Purdy. He doesn't mind going up high over the middle. You know, I like his game, and, you know, I think even this weekend I text Kyle, that two-year deal they got for Jennings was such a steal. Like, he's a guy who knows how to get to the first down marker and get you the first down. And not only that, but he could be a huge, huge red zone target if they ever used him as that. I'm a fan of his. I don't think he's not who I would choose to be my number two wide receiver all season long. But in a situation like this where he needs to bump up and take over for Debo, I'm okay with that.
The Rams announced that Jonah Jackson, their starting guard, suffered a fractured scapula. Oh, that sounds awful. He's headed to IR. So as bad as the 49ers day is going, the Rams Monday is actually going much worse.
Yeah, they're having a race to see who's having a
pretty much
Monday.
Yeah, because Cup's done. Cup's out long term. He
correct.
Looks like he's going on IR.
Puka Nacua
is out like 6 to 8.
He's going to join Puka Nacua, who's already there. And Roger Goodell is now on the phone wondering, do you guys have enough players to field a team this week? Guys keep falling off for the Rams and 49ers.
Not between these two teams, but also some other injury news was Isaiah Pacheco. Well, 6 to 8.
6 to 8, yeah.
So
the
Chiefs.
That's not good. Yeah. I think everyone's scrambling to figure out who's going to be the guy there, and I don't think they have the guy. I think that you're going to see them make some sort of move to try to bring in the guy.
By the way, this will get more discussion tomorrow. We'll have some fun with some of these different storylines.
By the way, Power Rankings come back tomorrow, huh?
Power Rankings come back Wednesday.
Oh, it's Wednesday. We don't do it Tuesday?
I wrote them in on Wednesday. We can bring them back tomorrow.
Wednesday.
Low-key, Power Rankings almost led to the end of the show at one point.
Refresh my memory.
Remember?
Because Kenny doesn't know how to do them.
Yeah, yeah. You got super pissed off at one meeting.
No, he has no idea how to do Power Rankings.
What do you mean, have no idea to do Power Rankings?
I remember, like, something vaguely happened, but D-Lo got pissed off. I was like, yep, this might be the end of the show right here.
The amount of times this show has nearly ended has been crazy.
The power rankings,
I'm going to rage quit. Like, everybody knows that, right? Like, is there like
it happens every year?
Is there off in the brown truck?
Is there, does the Chatty House have a wager as to when I'm just gonna like rage quit because the Steelers won again?
They did.
The Steelers are one of those teams we'll talk about tomorrow that they're 2-0 right now. But they beat the Denver Broncos, who are, you know, going to deal with some growing pains of a crappy coach and a young quarterback who's making mistakes. And that's what Bo Nix is doing right now. And I don't like Sean Payton at all, but I do think he could, if he's not a jerk to him, he could turn Bo Nix into a nice quarterback. But that was another one. Justin Fields now 2-0 as the Steelers starter.
Yeah. James, in that vein, kind of the same thing. What do you think about the Bryce Young situation, him getting benched in Carolina? And I bring that up when talk about Justin Fields, because that was another young quarterback who maybe felt like he needed a change of scenery, or maybe he was thrown into the fire a little too quick. Do you think that's what's happening with Bryce Young? Do you think there's a possibility that they're benching him to kind of save him a little bit, because things are moving a little too fast and they don't have talent around him? What do you think about that?
And he might stink.
Okay, so yeah, I think we're dealing with two different situations. I think Justin Fields came into the league into a bad situation, and you know, it's one thing to like not have the weapons. It's another thing to not have an offensive line, to have sort of pressure put on you that you're not ready for. And I've personally, for me, when I watch the Steelers, I don't think the Steelers are very good right now, but I also think that if they would have somehow pulled off a Brandon Ayuk trade, they would look a lot better. You know, they're a team that doesn't have enough weapons yet. Pickens is out there doing some crazy things and fighting the good fight, but he could use like a, I don't know, even know if Pickens could use like a Robin as much as he could use a Batman, you know? And so I think that would have helped them a lot, but I think Fields is the guy that can go out and without any question try to like sort of do the task at hand, which I don't know if that means make the playoffs for the Steelers or just means try to extend the 500 plus seasons. I don't think they're very good overall, talent wise, but I do think that he can win enough games to get them to continue their streak. He can get to 9 wins. When it comes to Bryce Young, I feel bad like saying this, but he's just not good enough. And you know, there's a lot of quarterbacks who come into the league and they're just not good enough and they're not going to be good enough. And, you know, we talk about it all the time. Who's the kid that was with the Jets last year that we made fun of all season long and now it's with the Broncos?
Zach Wilson.
Like, Zach Wilson's just not good enough to be an NFL starting quarterback. And I'm watching the throws that Bryce Young tries to make and he can't make them. And I'm watching him like run around and try to be like Kyler Murray, except for he looks like he weighs like 25 pounds less than Kyler Murray. And he does not look like a NFL starting quarterback, or for that matter, I'm not sure that he really looks like a quality backup quarterback in the NFL. And maybe that's too harsh because, you know, he was the number one pick last year, but sometimes you gotta like pull the plug quick on these deals and just admit that you made a mistake. And, you know, I think that that's what they're doing right now. I don't think they're doing this to try to get his confidence back or anything else. They're doing it because he can't make the throws and they're getting clubbed. And that's tough.
I disagree.
No.
And that's been my sentiment. Well, I take that back. I'm not saying I disagree. Carlton poses the question right here. Is it Bryce Young or is it the Panthers? I feel like the problem is the Panthers. Everybody who comes through can't play quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. Sam Darnold came through, couldn't play quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. He sure looks pretty good in Minnesota, though. He looked good enough to get people's attention in San Francisco. Baker Mayfield couldn't play quarterback in Carolina, looked perfectly fine in a Rams uniform, looks great in a Bucs uniform. And now I'm supposed to believe that this kid who you just changed coaches this year, all of a sudden, the consensus number one overall pick, now all of a sudden he can't play football. Now both can be true. He could be going through struggles of a young quarterback. But my issue with the Carolina Panthers is I don't think they can develop a young quarterback. I don't think that organization is equipped. I remember when Dwayne Haskins was drafted. Again, both things could be true. I was sick that Dwayne Haskins went to Washington because I knew they were going to ruin his career. Ugh. Maybe he was missing a couple of things, but coming out of college, I thought he was the one. In that draft class, I thought he was the one. And the second it became apparent, this brother's going to land in Washington, I knew he was screwed. I will live or die by the idea that more organizations ruin good quarterbacks than develop them. And that might be what we're seeing with Bryce Young. There's more evidence that the Panthers can't develop a quarterback or can't even have a good quarterback on their roster than there is that they can develop one.
I'll say this, though, maybe in I don't know if it's even defense of the Panthers, but that.
Yeah, of course it's in defense of the Panthers because you're trying to pick a fight with me.
No, but that's not fair.
You're trying to make the rage quit day today.
that's not fair to the new coach. Like to say that he can't develop a quarterback, it's his second game.
I'm saying the organization can't develop a quarterback.
Yeah, but ultimately, like.
It's like their third coach in what, 3 years?
Yeah.
Third coach in 4 years?
Yeah, the organization is having. But we know this. Very well here. The past failures is not, shouldn't, like Mike Brown, when he was here, when he got hired, he got here to do a job and he had an That's opportunity right. to do
and
it.
And the Kings missed the playoffs last year because of Luke Walton.
the Kings failure as an organization.
Yeah.
Mike Brown shouldn't have to, like, we can't. Mike Brown got here. The Kings can't do nothing because Mike. So Mike Brown's not going to do anything. So I don't know about this new. I don't know nothing about this new guy, but I understand what you're saying. But this is a new regime, and
he was the Bucs OC last year. That's the extent of what I know about.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything outside of that as well. So we'll see. I think they might. Sorry, James. I think they might be trying to. I don't know, preserve the guy a little bit. Because what's going on right now isn't helping. Man, there is a stigma to getting benched, quote unquote, and all this other stuff. But it could be one of those things where it is a positive. It is, hey, let's pull back a little bit and slow things down for you a little bit. Get back more on the practice field. Get back more into kind of seeing it from the sidelines. And, you know, the next opportunity you get, maybe you're a little bit more prepared. I don't think that if that's what they're thinking, which I don't know, if that's what they're thinking, I don't think that's the worst idea for somebody like Bryce Young.
I don't think so either. Like we were talking about it, me, you, and Jesse, right before we did during the handoff, Casey. What we saw last night on Sunday Night Football, right? It's C.J. Stroud versus Caleb Williams, and that's really not fair because. C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams don't play each other. They just happen to be on the opposite sidelines, right? But saying that, Caleb Williams looks every bit the part of a squirrely rookie that has no idea what he's doing and keeps making mistakes. They got lucky in week one that, you know, that the Titans just gave away a pick six at the end. Their defense is outstanding. They've got a really strong running back that cannot get anything going at all because they're just stacking the box against Caleb Williams. And you take him and you put him in one window, and then the next he's playing against C.J. Stroud, the number two pick in last year's draft. And C.J. Stroud walked into the league and said, I'm the dude. Just walked in and said, I'm the dude. Caleb Williams wants to say I'm the dude. He's not the dude. Now, like as opposed to Bryce Young, I think Caleb Williams might be able to get there. Right. He has the tools and everything else, but you can see that, but you can also see that he's a rookie out there making mistakes where like CJ Stroud just walked into the league and was like, okay, this doesn't seem that hard. I'm just going to go for throw for 4,000 yards. And then they're going to go get me more weapons during the offseason. And now I'm going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in my second season. And I'm ready to move forward. And so I think it's interesting how some guys come into the league, and even, what is it, Chase Daniels? Is that the quarterback for the Commanders?
Jaden.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jaden. Yeah, not Chase.
Jeez. I think Chase is an entirely different quarterback, if I'm not mistaken.
He was a bad quarterback. Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
He's a stud. Like, you see it right away. He looked a little shaky in week one, but he still made some big throws, and then he was spectacular running the ball. Week two, you saw another big step in growth where he's taking the like logical steps forward. Yeah. You're worried that Caleb Williams is always just going to rely on wild, crazy talent and may not reach the ceiling that which he has, which I don't even know what his ceiling is. It's to be one of the greats. But whether he gets there or not, I don't know.
I do want to point out, though, because we talked about this prior to the season started, probably that Thursday, is cautioning people looking at Caleb or even Jaden to a certain degree, like he's the next CJ Stroud. What CJ did last year was borderline historic. The number of rookie quarterbacks that did what CJ Stroud did is like a one-hand number. And so to think Caleb or Jaden or both can come in and do it the very next year is a bit far-fetched and setting unfair and unrealistic expectations for those guys. It also minimizes how truly incredible what CJ did was. CJ was phenomenal. CJ is, you're right, he kicked the door open and says, I'm the guy and I'm going to show you. And he had a new coach. He had a defense that was pretty solid. And I think the most important thing you said right there, Hammer, is this team immediately recognized, oh, we've got something here. Let's go get even better. And that's exactly what they did. Like the Texans, I think you asked, or maybe you both asked, or all three of you, about the Texans being a threat to the Chiefs. The Texans might very well be the next Chiefs in the AFC, but the next Bills, Bengals, the next darling to get up there and compete with the Patrick Mahomes era.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, they went out and got Diggs, and they went out and got Mixon. It's like if you want to support a young quarterback who's already showing not only the ability to make Nico Collins into a star, but Tank Dell and all these the smaller receivers already started to look like stars with him as a quarterback. You go out there and you get him the support pieces that make sense. You get him a guy who has done everything as a wide receiver in Diggs, and then you go get him a running back that can get you 4 yards every single time he touches the ball, and no one wants to hit because he's, you know, a power back. Mm-hmm. You give him the right pieces, and you know, maybe the next step is they've got to go get a scat back, a guy who can move around out of the backfield and catch third down balls and stuff, and that's like the next piece, and then build that offensive line. But man, that he is absolutely tremendous. And I the only reason the Bears are on Sunday Night Football 2 weeks into the season is because of Caleb Williams, mm-hmm. because of CJ Stroud. And I feel bad. Like, what are you doing putting them like on a national stage that early? Because they're not ready. He's not ready. And so he ends up looking like he's exposed, like totally. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man, you don't look very good at all. And it's tough because, you know, he's got to figure out how to be an NFL player and how to be an NFL quarterback and how to be an NFL leader. And those things don't just like happen overnight.
Yeah. Well, the Bears being on national TV is some unwritten rule.
Oh, geez. We should be ripped up.
Should be.
Although, did you hear all the Bears fans in Houston last night?
Yeah.
Bears travel, man.
Loud.
Bears fans are all over the country, man. So that means CV ratings and all this other stuff. So I get it. I get out of games play because they were in there. They had another one of those situations. So I hope Duke is cursed out. Maybe not cursed out, but yelled at in the team meeting when he thought he had the interception.
Oh.
And then he got mad, started yelling at the coaches, made him challenge it.
Yeah.
And like they said, it was incomplete twice.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Come on. Hey!
All right, dude.
I would light his ass up in the film recession.
Any thoughts on Jamar? We didn't talk about Jamar earlier when we were talking about that game. That was a tough, that's a really tough moment for Jamar. Mm. They got points. So, like, I mean, we could have a discussion about touchdown and all of this other stuff. That's a tough moment for Jamar. Like, his quarterback was trying to pull him back, and he just wouldn't. And that's a tough penalty to get in that moment. And then you're Jamar Chase. We all know what's going on, you know, behind the scenes. So those types of things are going to be amplified a little
right,
bit. Right. And, of course, there was the report that Jamar felt like Cincinnati didn't operate in good faith and, mm-hmm. like, the two weren't on good terms. So those types of moments are going to be amplified a little bit.
Yeah, everyone thought the Niners messed up and did things the wrong way.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, this is not looking good for Cincinnati.
It turns out the Bungles are still alive.
Man.
Yeah.
Crazy.
They can figure out how to mess this whole thing up again.
But help me. I think Tirico said this is three straight years.
Starting 0-2.
Is that right? Was that Cincinnati three straight years that Cincinnati started 0-2?
I don't know. I could believe it though, because they've been.
If only there was a way I could check.
They've been a team that.
Oh no, this is facts. They lost to Cleveland and Baltimore last year, and they lost to Pittsburgh and Dallas the year before.
Mm. Yeah, and they've been a team, a second half team, so to speak.
1-1 the year
during
prior.
During their reign of good play.
Oh, Jesse says we have to leave.
Nah.
Quickly, I'm not worried about the Ravens. I'm not worried about the Bengals. I am worried about the Rams. So,
Well, you know how you wouldn't be worried about the Rams is if you listen to me. We will expand on that tomorrow. We thank you for being with us. We'll run it back next on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Ramsey's Falcons.